I'd like to begin today by turning to the book of Habakkuk. It is the book of Habakkuk. I always called it Habakkuk, but then one day at the men's Bible study, we actually listened to how you're supposed to say it, and it's Habakkuk. Habakkuk, right? I'd like you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. And we're going to start in chapter 2 of Habakkuk today. These minor prophets are so rich with messages, but as we head closer and closer to the end times, these messages become even more and more poignant for us today as we look at this. And Habakkuk is such a message. It was written for a future time. Now, this chapter 2, I highly encourage you to read the whole thing and really think about it today in the light of the country. We're not going to spend that time, unless God redirects the message today, we're not going to spend that much time in this chapter. But this chapter is so important, and it's written to those who live today, I believe, in the United States. Now, whether this is the end of the end, I don't know. But I know that this chapter addresses what is happening in our society today. You know, we have the elections coming up, and we have choices to make. We've been given power by God, you could say, who raises up kings and administrations, right? The power rests with you. God raised up every individual in this country who's of age and, you know, qualifying to be the ones who cast the vote, who have the power. You have a measure of power. What do you do with the power that you have when it comes time for you to place your vote? And you need to think about that in terms of conscience. Don't just blow it off. I used to think that that was something to do, but as you look at who God gives the power, and when God says He raises up the governments, He raises up the kings, He raises up those who have power, in this nation, the people have power. Now, ultimately, the people, we know, because we're human, fail. We all fail. That's why we need the kingdom of God to be planted on this earth. We need Jesus Christ to return to the earth to establish His kingdom on this earth. But don't forsake the power that you have. And remember, you're making a decision with that power. Your vote makes a decision. So think about that. But here in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, verse 1, I just love this. Just let this first verse sink in. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Saying, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to go up on the defense. You know, you see that sometimes, that image of, you know, the soldiers marching around the ramparts of a city or of a fortress. You know, they're at the rampart and they're looking out because you can see what's happening. And here is Habakkuk looking, waiting, watching for God. What will God say? Now, this is the heart that is essential for all of us. Do you yearn for God's Word in your life? Do you yearn for His counsel and instruction and direction? That when you open up all that's written here, this is the precious Word of God. This is more valuable than gold or silver or anything in this world. The wisdom that is in here, the life that is in here, that will cut into you, that will make you and shape you by God's Spirit with this Word into the image of Christ. And so this attitude of, I'm going to stand watch. I am going to be ready for when God speaks. I'm going to listen. Then the Lord answered, verse 2. He answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Cool. Nice. This is stuff that's good. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, if you continue on this chapter, I'm asking you not to do it now. It's a letter to the United States, I tell you, citizens living here today. It's an amazing, amazing prophecy. But I want you to focus with me now on verse 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So we have something here that God is identifying. We have the proud or pride. And we have faith. Now, when you think of these two things, do you think of them as contrasting in your own mind? The proud, they're not upright. But the just, those who are justified, they live by faith. The unrighteous live by pride. But the just live by faith. Now, when you think of these things contrasting in your own mind, in your own life, we're getting into some of the core elements of who we are as people and the things that go on. You know, we have, you could say in our lives, we have this outer thing that goes out to the world. We have our actions here. That's a terrible A, isn't it? I am so sorry. Oh, I'm just making it worse. Never play Pictionary with me. This is what happens. I mess up. I don't erase. I try to correct. It gets worse. I try to correct again, and then you can't even tell what it ever was to begin with. I should have just left it alone in the first place and hope you figured it out. But it just doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. You have your actions here. You can say the next line, as it goes out and proceeds from you, are the things that you think. Your thoughts. Every action you take is based on something you thought first. Jesus said, hey, it's not the outside things that defile what goes in. It's what comes out of a man. The things that proceed from the heart. What's going on inside of you? Now, if we could say, well, we have our logical mind, but even deeper than that, God goes into something called the heart. But what comes from the heart is faith, what you believe. See, the way you believe affects the things that you think about, and it affects the actions that you take in life. So when you look at life, and you have in this world, we could say, going back out here, how are you going to act? How are you going to live? You have what the world would offer. You have options for how to live. All right? So think of your life as, in the world, you have all these options. The world is presenting, hey, you can play video games 10 hours a day. It's so exciting and fun. Hey, take these drugs, right? Because they're going to make you feel better about your life. Things are kind of messed up. Have a drink. Smirnoff, vodka, tequila, whatever it is. Get drunk because you'll forget about it and have a good time. There's all these kind of ways to deal with life in dissipation and wickedness and evil and things that have absolutely nothing to do with God. Now, some things are rather innocent. They're rather benign. It's neither here nor there whether it's of God. But generally, when you look at life, you have choices. Now, the more I work in business, the more I find it distasteful. Sometimes I think it's better not to be blessed in business, because the more you grow and expand in business, the more you realize it's really kind of wretched. I don't like what's under all the facades. The politics, the backbiting, the stabbing that goes on, the jockeying for position, the way people undercut, that it's not just people trying to do an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. Honesty is not often there. And someone who goes out that maybe I've just been kind of naive, I just don't like it. I don't like the cheating. I don't like the way mankind will put himself out and whore himself to the world for a buck. But you have choices in life, whether they're choices that will bring you gain and building up, as is talked about in Habakkuk 2. It talks about going out and just constantly increasing. You're never satisfied with anything. There's choices of how you're going to live and spend your time. Children, you going to listen to your parents or not? You have choices, right? You have things that your parents might be giving you options. Maybe commands, directions. Are you going to follow what they say? Are you going to choose something different? God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. There's two major ways to go in life. You're either with God or not. Now, oftentimes we start to look at our actions and say, are they with God or not? Sometimes we try to correct behavior to say, are we inside or not? But I'll tell you what, if you're working at the level of action in your life and analysis, you're way far away from where everything is springing from. In your life, the action is the last place it comes out. If you see action that's not right, it's not about changing the action. It's about changing what is inside of us, getting back to what it says here in Habakkuk 2:4. Pride or faith? You take all the actions that you have in life, whether you are righteous or whether you are unrighteous, and I tell you, it will come down to your faith. What do you believe? What is inside? What is happening here? When the serpent approached Eve in the garden, it wasn't so much a matter of talking about the fruit and how delicious it might have tasted. And oh, it's such a wonderful thing to eat. What the devil did was get Eve to doubt what God said. He said, you will not surely die. See, when God said, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely take and eat except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve says in her heart, do I believe it or not? Do I have faith that what God says is true right there? So what the devil does when he comes along into our lives is he doesn't have to start here at all. He doesn't have to worry himself with your actions at all. Where he goes is to your faith, to what you think and believe inside. It's about casting doubt upon God. What did he say in his own heart? He said, I will lift myself up. I will be like the Most High. And what changes direction in your life from either obeying God or to disobeying God? It's whether you say, I believe God is God, or I believe I'm God. What do you believe right here? Who knows better? See, the contrast now is getting made a little more plain, isn't it? There's pride. I am God. I will decide. No one will tell me what to do. Right? This is what is essential in our carnal nature. The belief system of doubting God. I will decide. This is very big in society. This message is constantly going out. Have it your way. What do you want? What can we do for you? How can we serve you? Everything is about you. But that pride will always lead to not being upright. It requires faith in God in the depth of your being. I say, okay, we get that. We get it. We need faith. We need to believe God. But you know, in some sense, it really is just that simple. Do you believe God or yourself? Do you believe God or in the messages of doubt that others send your way? Because what's going to spring out of your life, the actions that you do, it's all going to start with your faith the things that you believe in, the things that you hold true and dear, will direct where your thoughts are going, and those will direct where your actions are going. So often we say, well, there's just so many things that I've done in my life. Yeah, there are. There's lots of actions that we'd like to take back, right? Things that started with bad thoughts, and really, when you get down to it, there was something wrong in our belief system. But I want you to understand that when we talk about Jesus as the Savior of our lives, it is not just an event that happened thousands of years ago. The salvation of Jesus Christ is a very intimate and personal thing that is taking place now, if you allow Him, in the depth of your being on a day-by-day basis, because the just live by faith. The just have a faith in Christ that leads them day by day to make the right choices, to have the right thoughts, to have the right actions. It's not a matter of me changing me. It's a matter of Him changing me. The gospel of Jesus Christ, of His death and resurrection, is a changing message that comes right into your heart, to where the decision of faith is made. In the issue of sin and the repetition of actions that are sinful, are because somewhere inside of you, you hold a belief that this world, that your carnal nature, that the devil himself has planted, that you believe more than God. God is continually revealing Himself plainly. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many of you have done that in your life? Raise your hands. Has anybody tasted the Lord, put themselves out there, tested what He says, and come back finding Him failing? I haven't seen that. I see rejection in there. I see wanting to do what we want to do in there. But when you really put your life into the hands of God, you taste and you see He's good. He is so good. And it's the preciousness of that faith that changes everything in your life and in my life. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses here in a couple different spots. We're going to start here in Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1, verse 16. Notice, for it is the power of God. Okay. Do you believe that? The gospel is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of it. The gospel of Christ, it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Faith. Right here. Here's where salvation takes place. By here, it's too late. What's happening here, the outward man, the things that we see going on in our lives, that's, we might be cleansed for that, but really where Christ is, where the power of the gospel is right here. At the seat of your heart and your mind, the way you believe. This is where it is. Notice again, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone. Because everyone makes a choice in the depth of their being. What do you believe? The whole battle for your heart and mind is a battle of belief. God wants you to believe and trust Him. He wants you to love Him and lay your life down. We sang the songs, "You're Enough." "I surrender. I give you everything. Where you go, I'll go." Right? "Where you stay, I'll stay. I'm going to follow you." There is a life that is found here in following God, in looking at where God is. When He's moving, we're moving. When He's staying, we're staying. Who He loves, will love. Who He serves, will serve. Everything is about a focus in the depth of our being on God. Is God the focus in your heart? Because right here is where salvation turns the corner for each of us. The sacrifice of Christ is offered to all. He says, salvation for everyone who believes. It's not a matter that God needs to do more work. It's not a matter that God's not available to do work. It's a matter of whether you're willing to let Him do the work. Will you make God the God of your life? So that the actions change. I tell you, you can say, I'm going to stop yelling at my kids all day long. But something is going on inside that keeps causing you to do it. Maybe some of you need to yell a little more at your kids. Maybe that's, you're not correcting them enough. You're not chastening them when they need to be chastened. Something's going on. You have a thought where you think it's better not to. You know, the Bible says, spare the rod, which is, you know, hold back your discipline. You're going to spoil your child. See, the Word of God is perfect. It's in balance. It tells us both to correct and to love. It says, don't provoke them to wrath. But don't let them go without your love and chastening and direction. You have to have a balance in these things. And see, whether you do things like this in life or not, if you're always looking at the actions and trying to change your outward behavior and not really going to the heart of it, it's like those weeds that come up in the garden where they grow and you just snap them off, but the roots are still there and they come up again. And they keep coming up and they keep coming up and they keep coming up. You have to kill the roots or the weeds keep a-coming. Where is the power to destroy the root? It's not in you. It's in Christ in you. It's the power in you that you receive by belief in the gospel that changes what you believe, the way you see life, your approach to everything. I had somebody say to me this last week, well, it'll be a while before my actions are like yours. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, you really seem to like studying the Bible and you really seem to like praying and talking about God. It's going to be a while before I'm there. And I said, well, I guess that's one way to look at it. I said, but the other way is if you change what you believe, like a mustard seed right here, you can change all this real fast. Changing this is not a matter of trying to go through out here. Because all the system of your actions comes down to a very small core inside of you. One decision. One decision. Do you believe God? Or do you believe anything else? It's the core of you. It's the one seed. It's the one answer. Is God enough to say that I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm heading. But you're enough. There are beliefs that are in line with God of love, mercy, gentleness. When you believe in God, you start to think like God. You start to act like God. You come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you believe in this power of salvation? I want you to notice verse 17 now. For in it, that is in this gospel, in this belief in the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God knows of our own flesh we can't do this. If we don't have Christ in us, we can't change. The problem with the first covenant was not the law God put forward. As Hebrews says, the problem was with them. The flesh, they couldn't obey. It was right here. So he says, a new covenant will I do. I'm going to write the law in their heart and in their minds. And their sins and lawless deeds, I'm going to remember no more. I'm going to wipe this out here. Christ died for your sins, right? I'm going to wipe out all these actions. Okay? So take it, wipe it out. But I got to go in here. Because the law that you believe in and follow in life is the one that needs to change in order to get the action to match God's. He's got to write the law in your heart and in your mind. He's got to get you thinking differently, seeing the world differently, to get you to behave differently. It's about what's going on inside of you. So he says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's right here. Belief. Changing your life is based on your belief. Turn with me over to Acts 15. Acts 15. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Acts 15 and verse 7. Acts 15 and verse 7 says this, "And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them." Now this was during a council when they were talking about Jews and Gentiles. You know, could the Gentiles be counted part of the body? How does this all work? God, notice where God is taking this. "So Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. On all and to all, to everyone who believes." God opened it wide up. Everyone who believes. So God, who knows the heart, I want you to think about that in regard to what we're talking about today. There's the proud who are not upright because they walk in their pride. There are the just who live by faith. Something inside, a very critical key decision. Who do you believe? God knew their heart. They wanted to give their belief to God. So when the gospel is preached and belief accompanies the gospel, it begins a change that no matter whether you're circumcised or not, whether you're white, black, yellow, it doesn't matter. A change begins to take place that puts you into the family of God, to the mind of God. Verse 8, "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." The gospel is not just a message of your sins are forgiven. That's a part of it. It's important to know that your sins are forgiven. But really where God takes it is much deeper than your actions, your past actions, and what you've been. It even goes deeper than your thoughts. It goes into the very heart of who you are and the belief that you have. Do you believe in God or not? And when you show belief, He purifies that heart by faith. The change in who you are is a matter of belief. It's always been a matter of belief. What is in your heart? What is in the depth of your being? Is it God? Do you want everything? You see, we sing the songs of "I Surrender." Why don't we sing, "Just surrender to God"? Do you believe in the depth of your being that He is God? That He can make the difference, that He can bring about the change that you need. Notice here, let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. 1 John 3 and in verse 20 it says this: "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." Okay, so let's break that down. If we come before God, and in here, in our heart, we condemn ourselves, God says He's greater than that, and He knows all things. But He says that if our heart does not condemn us, we'll have confidence toward God. Okay, so there's a condemnation thought in here that comes because we know our sins, we know our thoughts, and we know that somewhere we are believing or trusting in something that's not right. Now, don't raise your hands, but I just want to ask you, how many of you are feeling shame in your life now? Shame about something you've done. Shame about things that you've done in the past. Maybe a guilt, or how do I ever become good enough for God? Most people in their lives have guilt over things that they have done that are deep within. They have shame and they wonder, how can God choose me? I look at myself and I don't like what I see. You see, in order to become a changed person, you have to be willing to confess your sin. And confessing a sin is not just a matter of action. If we understand what we're talking about today, of what we've done in action, it's a confession of what we believe. It's a confession of where the sin began. You know, David said in the Psalms, he said, "Search me, try me. Go into my inward parts, O God. Go down deep and see if there's any right way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God wants to go deep. He wants to get to the core of your being to know who you are. Everything about this relationship that you've entered into with God is about Him knowing who you are and you knowing who He is from faith to faith at the core of your being. Do you know who God is there? If you find the actions happening over and over again that you don't like, there is a slice of life right in here that you need to address. I had a man talk to me, I think I mentioned him a while ago, who'd gone to war and was a sniper. Killed a lot of people. Last thing he saw was a face, you know, and it was really hard to deal with that for him. And the thing was, even though he hadn't done it for years and years, it was right there, fresh, when I spoke to him. Just like it was 20 years ago and he'd just finished. The emotion, the hurt, the pain. All that he had done, he was so sorry for. But he's just like, "But I can't get rid of it. I can't unburden myself. You just don't know how bad I was. You just don't know." And you see, here was a man who had gone to the point of the deep introspection in life, looking inside his own heart and saying, "You just don't get how wicked I am. You don't know the things I believed. You don't know the things I did. You don't know that I saw their faces. You don't know that I pulled that trigger. And he couldn't unburden himself. The emotion, like I said, it was like it was yesterday to him. It was all there, all the hurt, all the pain, all the shame. See, these verses in 1 John are speaking right to that. For if our heart condemns us, verse 20, God is greater than our heart. Here's a question you need to ask. Because what people tend to do in life is when they go to the point where they can't get over their own sin, their own shame, their own guilt, you know what they do? They start to build upon it. They start laying things on top of it to make it look thicker so they don't have to go back and see it anymore. They start saying, well, there's really nothing I can do. I'm just going to bury it there. The problem is when you start to bury your own condemnation is it keeps trying to dig its way out to spring up. It's like that weed that just won't stop coming back. It's just got to break through. You lay concrete, but it comes through that little crack. And you're like, oh, why do you keep coming up? I thought I buried you. Burying things in your heart is not the solution. It never is. Human beings love to cover and bury and try to move on. They're coping. They're making it through. God doesn't want you to cope and make it through. He's trying to bust this out. He's going deep into the core of your being and says, I will put my spirit in you as deep as it needs to go. How deep is your hurt? How deep is your pain? How deep is the sin that you did or that was done against you? How deep does it go? What do you believe in your heart? He's saying, yes, it hurts. Yes, there's pain. Yes, if your heart condemns you, God knows. But now you've got a choice. Will you believe in your hurt? Or will you believe in God? Do you believe that God is greater than your heart? You come to the point in your being and you say, how do I get past this, God? The guilt. He's saying, it's belief. Why are you trusting in what your sin is more than me? Why do you trust in your own unrighteousness more than my righteousness? You see, the power of the gospel is for faith to everyone who believes in the righteousness that is imputed by God through faith. You believe that God comes into the depth of your being, and for the moment of hurt that you have, the pain that is within, you say, He is bigger. God is the strength in your being. God is the one who drives and motivates everything of action within you. But if you are still holding on to hurt and sin, and you're harboring it, and you're believing in it more, friends, you're going to have pride. Because you're going to find a different way to justify yourself. Adam and Eve sinned. And then they hid. And then they covered. And then they had fear. And where was God? It's the same story with us every day, over and over. The human nature that is within us is to justify ourselves. So when God comes a-calling to come into your heart, you say, it was the woman you gave me. Not me. It was the woman. Woman, what have you done? It was the serpent you made. Not me. You see, you get these sins and these hurts and these problems in life and you try to bury them here. And God is saying, no, you got to let it go out. Because now you've made a choice to say, you're God. You're going to justify yourself. When you justify yourself through excuse and lack of confession and admittance, you say, I'm God. I'll justify me. Will you let God be God in who you are today? Will you let God cleanse your heart through faith in His righteousness? Will you let Him in deep, where the things are buried, where the heart is questioning and doubting even the very existence of God or His role or care in your life? Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand that Jesus was willing to die? He was willing to come in the flesh. He was willing to give Himself up just for the hope that you would come to this moment in life and He could say, "It's gone." Do you believe it's gone? This is the moment He died for in you. This is where Jesus gets His reward. This is where Jesus gets His satisfaction. That as you come to the depth of the introspection and you realize the wickedness of faith within, that at that moment, you turn it over to God. And you believe that He, because His sacrifice is greater than your heart, that He is bigger than your guilt, that anything that you've done can't measure up to the greatness of His sacrifice and His righteousness, that His righteousness overpowers everything in your life. It can't even show up. His righteousness is bigger. His righteousness is more than enough to change your heart and to wash it clean. But friends, this is why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You've got to believe that He is, and you've got to believe that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. That He comes into the depth of your heart to change who you are. We can go through the motions of Christianity. We can show up for church. We can play the games as well as we can discipline our actions. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're living in this faith that God wants us to have. The just live by faith. The just come to the core and they believe in God. Okay, so you say, okay, David, how does this work? How does this happen? How do you turn this corner in you? Turn with me over to the book of Acts again. Acts in chapter 5. Acts in chapter 5, let's pick it up here in verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Peter and the other apostles, this is Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Okay, here's the core belief. Do you believe God or men? You know who the number one man you believe is? You. You believe in yourself. The message of the apostles is we ought to believe in God more than man. Man can bring all these things out to us, but do you believe in God more? "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." Okay, so you have a Prince and a Savior, Jesus, who gave His life. He died, but He was raised up again. He's now the Prince and Savior, because by His death, you've been reconciled. He paid for your sins. He took the penalty. But His resurrection to life is really where the salvation is. It's in His resurrection. Not just that He died for your sins and all the actions and the things that were going on in here with your life, but He was raised up. It's not enough just to wash away what's past. It's enough when He has control of what's going on now. Who you are today. So He says He was raised up to be a Prince and Savior. For what reason? To give repentance and forgiveness of sins. To give repentance. The power to change who you are. Repenting means to turn around He's giving the power to turn around. His resurrected life to say, I'll turn you around. We are witnesses to these things. So is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Okay, so how do you do this? How do you come in here to this faith and belief? Say you have a fear of something. Say you're afraid to go out at night, or you're afraid to get up here and speak. How do you change that? Most of you don't realize this, but if I'm not up here worshiping, I'm usually out here trying to praise God, but oftentimes I'm just really nervous. I get really scared sometimes before I get up to speak. Something in me that goes back somewhere in me, something happened in here that gave me fear. And sometimes it tries to rise up again. You know what I hear in my own head, my own, you know, your self-talk? You have that, David, you know, Wilbur, Davy. Okay, so what happens is I'll start to doubt, hey, you don't even know what you're going to speak on today. Your notes are pitiful. I used to write out my sermons, you know, 9 tight pages. But I'll look at my sheet and I'm like, I've got 5 verses written down. What am I going to say? I don't know. I thought I knew on Wednesday. Thursday it got changed. Friday I thought I knew where I was going again. And I wake up Saturday morning, I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to say today. And so the doubt will come in and it'll say, you're not ready for this. You can't do this. What do you have to offer anybody? Do you think you could really get through to somebody? You're not that smart. What are you going to do? You're going to get up there and you're going to just stand in front of everybody and freeze. Yes, I'm confessing. I'm flaying it open. God knows all this. A few weeks ago, I was having a fear fest over here during worship. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm panicking. I am panicking here. I'm desperate. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? You don't know how good that is. It's almost as if God says, yeah, David, now we're getting down to it. Now we're getting down to it, because now you're getting to the point where you might even, you know, just kind of back out. Pastor David runs out the door. Had an emergency. Gotta go. Faith happens in the moment that you've recognized your weakness, that you've recognized something in you is ungodly, and you say, God, you've never let me down before. I know you're going to help me get through this. I know that you are going to give me something, hopefully anything, that might be edifying or something that can bless somebody today. I trust you more than me. I trust you more than me. What happens so often in life is we come to the point of shame because of sin, because of guilt, because we think we're unworthy, and we have to make the choice. Do you trust God more than you? Do you believe in Him more than you believe in yourself? Is it better to obey God than man in your heart? Friends, I know there are people struggling with wanting to know whether they can change their behavior, wanting to know whether they really believe, wanting to know, can I be different? And really what you're saying before Almighty God is, I think I might believe in my sin, God, more than I believe in your righteousness. I think I might believe in my own thoughts, my own ways, that I am sinful and wicked. I believe that's who I am more than I believe in who you are. And I doubt the power of the gospel to come into my heart and free me here. Do you understand how God is crying out for your hearts? He's crying out for your minds. He's saying, let me in. Believe me. tell you, for me, when I get those little fear fests going on, do you realize it's to the very moment. It doesn't go away until I stand up and I walk up here and I'm just here now. Now I can't back out. Now chances of me running out the door aren't great. He says in Acts 5, verse 32, we are witnesses to these things. To what? That God will give repentance and forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. I'm witnessing to you today. This is my testimony to you. That at the moment when you say, I don't know, I think I'm going to fail, I think I'm not going to make it, I think I'll just continue to go the ways I've always gone before, I think I'm going to fall back into the habits that have gone, you are saying, I believe more in yourself. It is at that moment, in the depth of your being, when you say, I do believe that. Oh no, what's wrong with me? I believe that I'm going to fail. I believe I'm not going to make it. It's at that moment, you can flip it all around to say, you're greater, God. I believe in your righteousness. I believe in your provision. I believe in your protection, in your help. I believe in everything who you are and what you stand for. Your love, your mercy, your compassion, your justice. I walk away from who I was and I walk into the person you've made me to be. I will be changed. I will accept the repentance. And you also giving witness to these things, so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. You realize that in the depth here, this righteousness proves out by the Holy Spirit writing something new, a new belief in your life. And it happens as you stand up from that seat and you walk up front and say, here I am, God. Take me. Take me. You died for that moment. The best place you can be is at the worst place in your life. Because then you finally come to the point where you realize, I ain't all that. I'm not so wonderful. My pride will only take me so far. I can act all tough and try to hide all the hurt in my life. I can try to bury it. I can try to put on a facade. But you realize it won't go so far. And when you finally come to the point in your life where you realize that everything in you keeps leading to wrong behavior and you're trying to change this outward action and you keep realizing it's in here, I can't change me. It's when you know that you know you can't change you, that you can't save you. You are finally ready for a Savior to come into your heart and to change who you are. That's it. Right there. Everything can change, and it can happen quickly. From a moment of fear to a moment of boldness happens in a moment of standing up and walking in obedience to God. It doesn't take a lot of time. It takes a measure of faith. That's where it happens. That's how you apply it. You have to come and acknowledge the depth of a wrong belief, confessing it, but then you must confess Jesus. The confession of sin is pointless if you're not going to confess Jesus. The confession of your, I don't know God, is useless if you don't confess Jesus. You can have doubts about things in life, but it means nothing if you don't go to doubt and then turn it to faith in Jesus. Peter was walking on the water because Jesus commanded him. What did he do? He said, tell me to come out. He heard Jesus' voice. He heard the command. He got up and he walked to Jesus. As long as he was doing that, he was fine. But when he looked at the waves, the boisterous sea, the wind that was raging, what did he believe? I can't do this. And he started to sink. This is where the battle in our heart goes. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows us. But if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence and assurance. We can walk on the water to Jesus because we have the assurance and confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him. I get up here to speak every week, not because of who David is, but because of who God is. I just trust that He's going to give me something, that He will help me say something that might be edifying to any one of you. I've got to trust and believe, because I know in myself I don't have it. And every step in life, whether it's dealing with your children, whether it's the way you are at work, the way you treat your neighbors, everything is about focusing on Christ. Seeing Him, trusting His righteousness more than your own failing. Amen. Let's just finish here. I know I've gone over time, but let's just finish here in Romans. Friends, Jesus doesn't leave you hanging. Jesus won't leave you without the safety, the deliverance, the salvation. Whatever wickedness, whatever hurts, whatever things are deep within that He needs to either heal you of, free you of, destroy, whatever it is, He's capable. Because He wants to build you up right. Verse 9. Let's start in verse 8, actually. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And we hear from your word, God, today. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That is where it always comes from. The belief in your heart. It's not in who you are, it's in who He is. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're waiting to move until you make yourself righteous, you're going to wait a long time. But if you're willing to move when God's righteousness is enough for you, you can go right now. You don't have to wait. He's got all the righteousness to impute if you'll believe in that more than you believe in yourself. Do you believe at the core of your being that the righteousness of Christ, His goodness, His salvation and mercy is enough? Friends, the just live by faith. So live in faith. Believe. He will not leave you hanging. He will not make any ashamed who call on His holy name.